12 seconds. Guzang. Again with the ball in his hands. In the paint. Floater. Short. Got it back. Ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Sox for the win. Oh my goodness, one of the great games.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
I've got goosebumps right now. Maybe I should see a doctor. I've had goosebumps basically like since Saturday night.
The last more than 72 hours, consult a physician.
Right. I have watched that end game maybe like, I'm not even BSing here, maybe like 100 times. Like sure. I can't get enough. So look, we have a full hour dedicated at the end of the show to Gonzaga Baylor tonight in the national championship game. So we were going to give you pillar to post on that game. We had to do in the open the Darnold stuff because that's obviously breaking, traded to the Carolina Panthers. So we were going to do this probably to start the show. So we'll do it here. I think people probably, it was a great shared experience on Saturday night. I think, Ken, that a lot of people agree with you and I. As the game's going on, I'm thinking, like, this is definitely the best game of the tournament. And then as it rolls forward, it's like, okay, now where does this rank among, like, some of the best games I've ever seen? And when Suggs hits the shot, it's, like, cemented in my head at this point. I've been watching all sports, including college basketball, religiously since 1990. That's like the first year I've been all in on sports, and I've been all in ever since then. So I have a 31 years of sports to go back on here. Watched every tournament. I've seen all the big games in every sport. It's the best college basketball game I've ever seen. And it is on the short list of my favorite sporting events ever, period. Just wow. As good as it could possibly get.
I totally agree. The ceiling that the game reached versus what was possible. Like if it, you know, whatever the ceiling was, whatever the best version of this game could have been, it reached it. And basically no game ever does that. Whatever your vision of whatever great sporting event, tonight's game has a really high ceiling. Tonight could be awesome. It is very, the ceiling for tonight's game is basically like actually the greatest game of all time. Cause it's Gonzaga actually going for the under, yeah. Yep. Cause they're actually going for the undefeated season. And they're playing the one team that everyone thought the entire year could give them a game. Who by the way, was also an incredible team all year. So I agree with you. I tried to phrase this differently because people that listen to the show, and I think this applies to you too, honestly, in a lot of situations. Like, we don't do this a lot. We don't do the, like, this is the best of all time of this in the moment. Or, you know, it's, you know, looking backwards and like, well, this is the best. Or like, you know, LeBron versus Jordan or, you know, whatever. All that kind of like the hot take stuff that frequently applies to these types of arguments. We don't really do it. And I actually usually don't like it. But in this case, to me, it was so obvious. Like, that was the funny part to me. And I never do this stuff. And I tried to be really careful with how I worded it when I just first tweeted about this. And Twitter was like the gathering place of everybody who had an opinion on this. It was one of those times it was actually very fun to be on Twitter because we had all just watched something completely insane. And I said, you know, we're about the same age. You've been watching college basketball a little bit longer. And I actually think that an important couple of years in terms of what you remember and what I do not remember, like early 90s, I think, which is some of what's going to come up in this conversation.
Duke, UNLV, and then
right.
Kentucky.
And then
Duke,
which Duke Kentucky,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like two games, which I don't remember Duke, UNLV. I was six, basically, at the time. I kind of remember Duke, Kentucky, you know, a little bit, basically. But anyway, the way I tweeted was just, you know, we're about the same age. I'm going to be 37 in August. Of the game, and I always try to do it, games that I've watched. Like, of games that I have watched, that's the best college basketball game I've ever watched. Now, there are going to be some that have taken place while I was alive, but I did not watch them, or that I don't remember. And there were many that took place before I was born. And people who watched those will have very strong opinions about that those were actually better or the same, or also just really good games. We can celebrate everything. But of all the games that I've watched, of just of college basketball, leave other sports to the side for a second, I think that is clearly the best college basketball game that I've watched. And I would be hesitant to even put anything close to that in second. Like, that's how much better I thought it was than every other college basketball game that I've seen in my lifetime live. And that's live is going to be an important part, I think, of this conversation as well. The live viewing experience, knowing the stakes, being in the energy of the game as it's going on, as opposed to watching it. If I watched a game from 1950 after the fact. So I agree with you. For me, also the best college basketball game I've seen, which is a good way to put it.
The one thing that I know we definitely disagree on, and I do agree with you because we were texting about it, that you thought Villanova North Carolina 2016 national championship game, great game, like great finish, game. Right? Of course, with the Page important shot and then Chris Jenkins with the winner. Yeah, Ken is a North Carolina fan. Like, that's a great game. But as far as a full game goes, does not hold a candle for me to UCLA Gonzaga. Like, a great finish, but not at the same level of game. So we agree on that. I can't get on board to say like it like so far outclasses Duke Kentucky, which was just an unbelievably epic game, overtime high scoring, both teams over 100 points, Leitner with the game winner. But to me, like this felt better. This felt like as it waned on, there was just no question about it because it would. Duke and Kentucky were two like elite teams, and that kind of felt like the national championship game in that regional final. It maybe holds a special place in my heart because my dad won his office pool. I think I've told this story before. Eventually won it. My dad had Duke and his boss had Kentucky. So it was kind of, it was different, right? Because those are two like heavyweights going toe to toe. This was UCLA, the massive underdog, of course, with like the greatest pedigree of all time as a college basketball program. So an interesting dichotomy there, right? And the underdog going blow for blow with Gonzaga. Gonzaga played a great game. It was just like, not even like the 100th percentile UCLA game. It was at the 101th percentile. Like, right, UCLA will never play a game. UCLA hasn't played that well since Bill Walton and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar were there in the 70s. Right. And, like 1995 UCLA with O'Bannon and then Toby Bailey and company and Jim Harrick didn't play as well as UCLA did on Saturday night against Gonzaga. The shot making that you like, Cody Riley was drilling shots from 18 feet like he was Kobe Bryant.
Gonzaga wanted him to shoot him, right?
It was remarkable where every time Gonzaga like pulled ahead by seven and I'm thinking, it's done. Here's Tiger Campbell with a 20-footer. Chuzang couldn't miss. Like, just absolutely sensational. And I want to say this about that Jim Nantz call because I think people have gotten on him like, oh, he didn't have like where was his signature line? How about he fangirled out in the biggest moment like we all did? And like, man, just goes, oh, yes, unbelievable. In a tone of voice, and I've been listening to Jim Nantz call game for 30 years, like the way everyone else has. I've never heard Jim Nance's voice sound like that, like it sounded in that moment, because he lost it. And then you have Raftery and Grant Hill are just basically audibly ooing and eyeing, and like, that's the call. Right. It was a shit. They felt like we did, and people are criticizing this. I thought it was legendary.
Yeah, and I mean, first of all, why would we criticize any aspect of that game? It had everything you want, and the ingredients were all there when we talk about history and referencing it. And first of all, if you're kind of telling on yourself if you're going to try to be contrarian, when people like us say it's the best college basketball game we've ever seen, you're like, well, 92 Duke Kentucky. How about starting with the fact that your only measuring stick for this game is a game that's 28 years old? How about let's start there? That in decades, you can't come up with any reference point that's anywhere close to this. Yeah, so maybe it's in the, why don't we just start there? Maybe it's in the conversation. If we have to go back to 1992 to even start having a conversation about comparing it to somewhere, and all the ingredients, right? You mentioned the shot making. Obviously, you need an incredible final frame, whatever that looks like, end of regulation and overtime. In this case, we're both very dramatic. You need future pros. Suggs is going to be a lottery pick. He might actually end up very interesting. There's a lot of conversation today about, should he go second or third? I don't think he's going to go ahead of Cade Cunningham, but he might. And let's see what happens. He's in that conversation. A lot of title games, a lot of Final Four games don't have a guy like that in the conversation. And that adds to not just that he was the one who made the shot, but that he's playing in the game. I mean, it's a game we're going to remember because we're going to watch him play professional basketball for a long time. Not all these games have that. Like, we don't, Chris Jenkins, we don't have that. Like, even the players for Carolina in that game, Joel Berry and Justin Jackson, you know, like these guys, like, we don't have that with them. Kennedy Meeks, you know, guys like that. But so it had those ingredients. I think a couple things under the radar. It had, and it almost happened by accident, but I mean, the officiating, it had to be not terrible. And that's a big if in this tournament. It had to be not terrible and you had to not be thinking about it. And yes, like the Suggs block where his hand's kind of in the net and it might've been a foul, which is like the best play of the game besides his bank.
Great, great no call like, in my opinion. Actually, it's great that you bring this up. I thought the officiating was great in the game.
I agree. Well, it's great because it was irrelevant. It's great because it didn't matter. There was literally one call in the game that they had to get right. And it was the block charge at the end of regulation.
And it was a charge. Right. You agree with that. It was a charge. Like Timmy did a great job.
I don't even think it's a
debate.
Right. It's not a debate. It's just, but it's a debate in terms of, like, if they had gotten it wrong, they would have wrecked everything. And they could have gotten it wrong. Could have.
And wrecked the undefeated season.
Wreck everything about every way we're talking about this game. Destroyed it. And they didn't. They had one way that they could have messed this up, and they didn't, and that's great. But, like, given the officiating of the tournament, it can't go unstated how, like, they didn't get involved in this. And the one time where they had to, they actually got it right. And that allowed all of this to happen in the way that... So you had all the ingredients. You have all the things going on coming into the game with Gonzaga. All things coming into the game with UCLA, actually. Just first four. Hep Cronin. Typically amazing dominant program that has all these records. We're seeing Johnny Juzang on all these graphics with like Bill Walton and Lou Alcindor and all these guys. So it had all the ingredients. It had the finish. And where I think people get confused and even their own, like comparing it to other games, is how you started your comment, which was just a lot of games have excellent finishes. Chris Jenkins made a three-pointer at the buzzer to win a national championship. That basically never happens. So I totally understand how people want to say that Villanova Carolina was awesome. The last 4 minutes of the game was incredible. Carolina basically scores 10 unanswered. Page, it's an off-balance three that no one remembers. That's like the greatest shot of all time. And then Jenkins, it's a three to win the title. That's the last 5 minutes. The first 35 minutes in no way is anywhere close to this level of basketball. I mean, and I watched it. I had a lot of money on Carolina to win the title at crazy prices. I'm a fan of the team. Not even close. Like, not even in the zip code. And the best example I can give to kind of hammer this home, when I worked at ESPN, my specialty was highlights. That's what I worked in for years and years and years as like a supervisor and a manager of all these people. And when the Jenkins shot goes in, CBS limits the amount of time that we can show for every single highlight of every single game of the NCAA tournament because they want to be able to show the max and they don't want their competitors to basically be able to show anything short of like 15 seconds. Here's who won the game. Now tune to CBS. We'll show you everything that happened. When Jenkins hits the shot for Villanova to beat Carolina, the immediate conversation is there anything else we need to see in the game aside from Page and Jenkins? Is there anything else that is required in the game? And that's a work-driven conversation. Like, our performance is being evaluated on making this decision, and the consensus 100% decision from everyone who had watched the game in the room was that there's not even close to anything that you have to see aside from the end of the game. How can that game come close if that is the answer to that question? So it's just an interesting way to think about, and we can apply this to all games, we don't have the time, but just think about it on your own. If there's a game that you're measuring up, like, what would the highlight of that game have to include? What would the highlight of this game have to include? I think you come to some very different conclusions if you think of things through that prism.
Pretty jacked, by the way, also that I bet on UCLA and I won that. In
overtime, was there like 5 seconds where you were nervous when Gonzaga goes up 4-6?
I'll tell you when I was nervous, when the game went to halftime and Gonzaga was winning. And I'm like, well, this has like blowout potential
momentum
in the second half. Because of how UCLA played in the first
greatest half of all time.
Yeah. They were losing.
Right. They were losing by one.
I'm being serious, man. Like, how do you like, I don't know what the line from, like, it's from some movie. Like, I think it's from Moneyball. How can you not be romantic about baseball? I've just seen it. I've never seen the movie. How can you not be romantic and emotional about sports? Like, I was legitimately emotional after watching the game.
Sure.
I was thrilled for Gonzaga. I was absolutely gutted for UCLA. Like, a team that absolutely did not deserve to lose. And Cronin's interview got me where he was like, we didn't lose. Like, we won. Like, we did. I can't ask anything more from my players. Like, what more? Like, that is a game where sports ascends and it becomes Shakespeare. Like, that is masterpiece theater. That is the best entertainment, the best reality show that you could possibly have. That is the best of what sports has to offer. And I mean, like, just on the short list of games that I think of as like the best games ever, Texas USC in the 2006 Rose Bowl, you know, Game 7, Cavs Warriors in 2016. Like, a lot of NFL games, the NFL is my favorite sport. I think this game goes into the pantheon with all of them. I think this makes, for my pantheon, the Nick Costos pantheon absolutely has a space for UCLA and Gonzaga. Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if we want to, we can take this into the next segment because it's just way better than, like, any other thing because we're so excited to talk about it. I don't think about pro sports and college sports necessarily the same way in terms of like the ceiling of a lot of the games historically that I've seen in pro sports. They're just, the ceiling is higher. So even if it come close to reaching it, this game, you got the absolute maximum out of this game that you ever could have, 100% capacity. You got the most you ever could. And it was awesome.
It's just the absolute best. I literally like couldn't sleep. I was up basically all night. I couldn't stop thinking about it. It was great. Take a quick break here on the other side. We'll get into Major League Baseball takeaways from the weekend and keep it up. Was it the best game ever? We'll continue the discussion right after this.
From pro basketball to Nikki football, soccer bets, and so much more, we've got you covered. It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
to the right side of the floor, defended by Kispert now. Drives, leans in, the runner comes up short. Choosing the rebounds and puts it in. We're tied at 90. 3 seconds left. Here's Suggs the other way. Pull up three for the win.
Yes! Yes!
Set the doors of the championship game! He knocked it out from 40 at the buzzer!
Yes!
The Bulldogs!
Wow!
Play for a national championship!
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Look, there are going to be a lot of people that kill that call. Homers, not professional. A, it's the Gonzaga Radio Network. B, like, imagine you're a Gonzaga fan, you're listening to the game on the radio. Like, you drive off the road when Morrison yells yes. And, like, if driving off the road would ever be a good thing, this would be it. I don't know. Like, is it classically great? No. But, I mean, I laugh every time I hear it. Literally every single time.
Oh, it was great. How could you? It's a sports network of a team. Like, has the NFL not showed us that these calls are so much better? Like, yeah, we got Nance for everybody. And then if you want this angle, it's like the team stream or whatever they had for all the different. It's like, if you want this, this is the best version of this thing. that's what the Adam Morrison call was.
Stubbs for the win. Yeah. Did it go in? Yes!
Yes! Yeah.
Did you like the Nance call? I'll see, like, a lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah. Anytime someone kind of breaks their shell a little bit, I think it's always, like, so much more interesting than if they gave you, like, Nance's call, if I remember correctly, his call of UNC beating Illinois in the NCAA title game in 2004?
Four season was
game
the
was
year.
In five.
Yes.
Right, yeah. I believe it was something like Sean May was on the Carolina team, because otherwise people won't get this, but it was like, it started in March, it ended in April, and it belongs to May. That was like the call. And I was like, would you really rather have that than what we had last night? Would you really rather have that? I mean, come on. It's like not even close. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, and like, it sounded like Nance was like possessed by an alien. And like that like whoever was
and I possessed by an alien.
Hello, aliens.
Hello, friends.
It is You Better You Bet.
Hello.
Yeah. You Better You Bet Monday on the BetQL Audio Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley. We're going to get to our MLB weekend takeaways from the series in just a moment here. Rob Doster going to join us top of the hour. Colin Wilson also coming up next hour. Power Hour, hour number three. All our picks for tonight. Hour number four is BetQL's Countdown to Tip-Off. I have everything you need to know to bet on Baylor and Gonzaga. So if you're looking for that analysis, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Hour number four of the show, a full hour. Jimmy Patsos joins us. Our buddy Eli Herskovich joins us. We will give you a side total and props for the Zags and Baylor in the national championship game. But let's bring on our entire crew here and let's wrap up the conversation about UCLA Gonzaga with this. So I'll pose the question, and it'll be Rick Camp, our great board up, our great technical director, our buddy Bill Madsen, our executive producer, Tyler Morales. Tyler, I'll give you first word here. Your favorite college basketball game of all time. And then if there's another game in another sport that stands out as your personal favorite of all time, please share it with us.
Probably, granted, my memory goes back to only 2005, so I don't even know Duke, Kentucky. I don't even know if my parents met at that time. So I think Memphis, Kansas, probably the national championship game, the Mario Chalmers shot, all the missed free throws at the end. That's like probably my earliest memory. Also, Syracuse, UConn, the six overtime games. I watch that all the time, anytime it's on. That was probably my favorite college basketball game up until the one we just saw. And as like another sport, probably Warriors, Cavs game seven with the LeBron block. That was drama at its highest, in my opinion.
Yeah, Warriors, Cavs. That might be my favorite sporting event of all time. And the NBA is not my favorite sport.
I'll give you another NBA that stood out, because I think the key is how you're feeling when you're like in the game watching it. Like, do you feel like this matters so much compared to like everything else that you've ever watched? Warriors, Cavs is definitely that. That sneaky under the radar now, that Warriors Thunder series, that game six, when the Thunder like really actually could have eliminated them. Westbrook,
when Clay
Durant choked,
like
Clay,
50
Clay
in
was hitting half court threes, like in set plays. I mean, completely ridiculous. And think about the decades that have spun off that. Durant and Westbrook on different teams. Like, Durant ends up on the Warriors, the legacy of that. I mean, just again, how does it feel when you're in it? Does it feel like it's the most important thing?
Yeah, that's a great one to be certain of. Obviously, I think people will bring up the Ray Allen shot, Heat Spurs game six as well. The Ray Allen.
Not a great game, but an amazing shot. Yeah.
Amazing shot. And then he'd, of course, go on to beat the Spurs in game seven. And then the Spurs annihilated them the next year. And then LeBron took his talents back to Cleveland. Let's bring our buddy Bill Matz on. Bill, your favorite college basketball game? And then if you've got another great game for us.
College basketball, I have to go with Villanova and UNC just because, like, I'm from Philly. I'm not the biggest,
fair enough.
I'm not the biggest college basketball fan, but, and it was like a fun thing going into that. I was doing a lot of like, Villanova's not even a Philly team. Forget them. We're not going to give them, we're not going to give them a parade. And then, like, to have to step back from the troll and just be like, yeah, I wasn't invested in this and I'm having fun. This was just a really great ending to a game, regardless of what I feel about the teams. Non-college basketball, I have to go with something. It's personal, but everyone who watched it said it was an amazing game. Come on, Super Bowl 52. I mean, 41-33, the greatest quarterback ever has the best day ever and loses to a backup. It had every element, a ridiculous trick play, drama at the end. It's so much fun. One of the best days of my life as well.
Okay. Yeah, I don't hate that. It's okay.
It's a Super Bowl, and so in the moment, it has to feel kind of important because it's the Super Bowl.
I would say it was maybe like the fourth best Super Bowl Tom Brady's played in, but we're playing.
I agree. Right.
Bill's a Philly guy, so I think that makes some sense.
Oh, of course.
What about Rick? Rick, your favorite college game ever, and then give us another option as well.
College-wise, my college more recently scored 4 points an entire half than make the NCAA tournament. So that shows where Northern Illinois University.
Okay.
Football school. So for me,
Brandon
it's
Jacobs, I think, yeah, right.
No, that's Southern Illinois. Michael Turner, Garrett Wolf, Sam Hurd. Shouts to Sam Hurd.
Sam Hurd. It's against Pablo Escobar, and then next up is Sam Hurd on the list of great drug dealers, apparently. Right, yeah.
Also, good. I take Sam Hurd as a red zone target, though, at least in college. So I would go the Arizona, Illinois.
The red zone, and then Sam Hurd specialized in the white zone. So, yeah, that was where Sam Hurd made all his money. Not the green zone or not the red zone. Okay, go ahead, Rick.
So I would go the Arizona-Illinois game in 2005, probably because I was watching it with my family. They're more Illinois fans than I am myself, but it was just such a great comeback, and the fact that it wasn't just one moment, it took a while, and it was still a pretty solid game up to that point. So college-wise, that. And I think maybe an underrated Jordan game, if I don't want to go with the last game, which, you know, wasn't that great until the last sequence or the flu game, is that game one in 98 where Jordan hits the game winner at the buzzer. I thought that was pretty good. Or maybe the game they actually lost in 93, the triple overtime game to the Suns at Chicago Stadium.
I mean, whatever. And then, like, they won the series in six. So,
hey, I didn't bring up Charles Smith this time.
Well, great. Yeah, thanks. Awesome. Yeah, one of the million Knicks games that could torture me with. Okay. Ken, what about you?
There are a few that stand out as, like, so my issue is, and this is a personal thing, this is all subjective, obviously, too. I just think I hold pro sports in, like, this such a higher plane than college sports. I think part of the reason for that is that, like, the stakes just always feel higher. This is, like, first of all, we followed a lot of these guys for decades to get to the point that they're at. That's not true with college athletes. And then also the ramifications of winning and losing the game are like their lives, basically. And you could argue for a college basketball player, this might be the greatest game they ever play in. But like, it's a snapshot. They're into our life for a few weeks. They're out of our life for a few weeks. Even if you're a huge fan, I mean, short of like Gonzaga and some of the other bigger teams, like, even if you're like a college basketball fan, you weren't following UCLA this year. You don't know their players. They haven't followed them this whole time. They still came out of nowhere. Even if you like the sport, they still came out of nowhere. So I think it makes the stakes can, to me, and this is just a personal opinion, can never be as high as like the big, big, big professional sporting event. So like a couple, I mean, Cavs Warriors is one everybody brings up, which is a terrible game, but felt like the most important thing on earth when you were in it and like that had ever existed when you were watching it, and had obviously the incredible final 5 minutes. Cubs Indians game 7 of the World Series felt like
later that just, couple I mean, months later after the Cavs Warriors game,
literally like 90 years for both teams, and it goes to extra innings tied and it starts raining. Like, I mean, just again, like you can't a game like Gonzaga UCLA can just, it's limited in that it can never be that. And it maybe that shouldn't take away from it necessarily, but if we're comparing, then that has to be a part of the discussion. So like those were two that stood out for me. There are others people have brought up, I think, are part of the discussion too, but I think those are a couple that stood out just to kind of prove my point.
Texas USC. I know what you just said about college sports, and I don't disagree, cause I'm more of a, I'm from New York. New York's a pro sports town. So I've never been invested in a college team. Like, I don't really care. Like, I went to Fordham sucks and everything. So,
but if you're a fan, that's different than if you're like just watching the game. Like, if you're a fan of a team, Bill, Bill, like, Bill's allowed to say Villanova and the Eagles and, if you know, the Flyers, when they, you know, when they, whenever they end up winning, like, whatever, he's allowed to say all that stuff. Cause like, if you're a fan of the team, that's going to be your answer. But if you're just like the general observer, that I think what I said is still true, but Texas USC, which you mentioned, comes very close.
Texas USC. Absolutely fantastic. This will be my
felt insanely answer. Big. Felt insanely oh, yeah. big when you were watching it. Couldn't have felt bigger. Yeah.
Giants Bill Super Bowl 25, I think, is the best football game ever played. No turnovers on either side. Giants win the game 20-19. The perfect game plan. I'll go with that. I think maybe the most underrated game ever is, and I think I've said this on the show before, is the Viking Saints 2009 NFC Championship.
We've talked about it because we both feel the
massive
same way.
Beyond yeah. words that like the totally Vikings agree. Should have won the game. The Vikings would have obliterated Peyton yep. Manning and the Colts in the Super Bowl. And then like we look at Brett Favre's career completely differently. If Favre wins the championships, like Favre's probably in the GOAT conversation, right? And he's not anymore.
Yeah.
Like he is in the conversation. If Adrian Peterson holds onto the ball, he doesn't throw that stupid pick to Tracy Porter. It's not Detroit. It's the right. NFC championship game. Shout out to Paul Allen for the great call yep. there. You know, Cavs Warriors game 7, just like, you're right. Like there's never, I don't know that there will ever be a sporting event that doesn't involve one of my favorite teams that feels bigger than Cavs Warriors game.
It felt insane. It's Texas USC did feel like that though, to be fair. Like that whole day, I remember it felt like that. And it's not, it's different. Like, I mean, the legacies and the legends and everything. People
I hated the Warriors so much though. And like, I had money on the cat, but like, I wanted to see LeBron beat them so badly. Like, it was like, I wanted to like vomit during the game. Like, I was so nervous. It's like in that final stretch where neither team could score.
Everyone's missing. Like, yeah.
Just the LeBron block. I mean, the Kyrie three. Like, how about
Kevin Love guarding Curry for like 15 seconds on a pick and roll? Yeah. I mean,
how about when LeBron goes for the dunk to like close the game out?
Yes.
And fouled and like you think
like he died. Right.
Like, yeah. He's got a broken leg or something. Just incredible.
And missed the first, by the way. Missed the first. And if he misses the second, it gets pretty hairy. So it's made the second.
Yeah, they won what? 90. They won 93-89. They won by 4.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like as you said, like Duke UNLV, great. Duke Kentucky, great. Nova North Carolina, great. UCLA Gonzaga won, great. The Adam Morrison game. Arizona Illinois, great. Lots of great games. UCLA, like, nothing felt to me like UCLA Gonzaga made me feel as that game was going on. We're like just emotionally spent after the game. Shakespeare. It was Shakespeare. Just tremendous. Hopefully we get that tonight with Baylor and Gonzaga. Our number one in the books here, you better, you bet. On a Monday, on the other side, we'll do NBA MVP. We'll do Major League Baseball series takeaways. Power Hour, hour number 3. BetQL countdown to tip off in hour number 4. We're just getting started. Don't go anywhere. Stick with us.